Texas America. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined this morning by Dilip Hero, hooking up with us from England. Dilip is the author of The Iranian Labyrinth, the author of Blood of the Earth, the author of The Dictionary on the Middle East, and the definitive work on the Iran-Iraq War, which came out in 1991, among many other things that he's authored. And we're here to discuss what seems to be a very strange policy being pursued by Mr. Bush and the neoconservatives who influence American foreign policy in both the Republican and the Democratic parties, much to the detriment, I would argue, of our own nation as well as of the world, the way things are playing out. Dilip, talking about this whole business of getting back to this whole business then of what Dilip Hero has shared with us. He has a number of very important things that he discusses in this epilogue to his book, The Iranian Labyrinth, which he has provided for me online. You won't find it, as I understand it, in the American version of the book. This has come out in a new version of The Iranian Labyrinth that is available in the United Kingdom. But in that epilogue, which is quite a number of pages, I read the entire thing yesterday and tried to make myself a lot of notes and so forth. In looking through this, the rather schizophrenic character of American foreign policy in this whole situation comes to mind. Dilip Hero, I think, in this epilogue makes it clear that Washington's favored choice among the five options that Bush has on Iran is surgical strikes on Iran. It's quite clear that this is what CENTCOM seems to be planning, what the American Air Force seems to be planning. We need to discuss that with Dilip, this whole issue of all of the ramifications of this in terms of political blowback if the United States attacks Iran from the air. Then we get into this whole business of why Israel is drawing a red line when it comes to Iranian possession of a nuclear weapon, when Israel possesses an estimated arsenal of 200-plus atomic bombs. Then, of course, there's that familiar theme of the neoconservatives close to Bush, like Paul Wolfowitz, who are also close to Israel, and the implications of that for the for America's policy in the region. Dilip, we've got you back. We were talking before the
Okay. I think I'm sorry. I thought we had finished. Anyway, let me pick up the other phone. This is a cordless phone.
Okay.
Don't go away. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, it's better. Okay. I think. You know, when you said about Israel, and just two things. One is that Dictionary of the Middle East, published in 1996, has been updated, and now it is called The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide, published in 2003. Now, on page 325, of course, you very kindly pointed out, you know, how many nuclear bombs Israel had, at least 200. But what's interesting, and I have in front of me that particular book, The Central Middle East, page 324. This is something which I think will come as a surprise, or should I say unpleasant surprise to most of listeners. I have military in Israel, then I have non-conventional weapons, biological and chemical. I'm talking Israel. Israeli Institute for Biological Research, IIRB, at Nes Ziona, south of Tel Aviv, established in 1952, is Israeli military and intelligence community's front organization for developing, testing, and producing biological and chemical weapons. Access to Nes Ziona is denied even to the members of the Parliament's Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, concerned about the health risks to the residents of the area. The crash of an Israeli El Al aircraft southeast of Amsterdam, Holland, on its way from New York to Tel Aviv in October 1992, which killed 47 people, was carrying 10 tons of chemicals, including...
We'll be back with Dilip Hero. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Back. This is Mark Van Pops America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dilip Hero, the author of The Iranian Labyrinth, the author of Blood of the Earth, and the leading definitive account of the Iran-Iraq War from 1980 to 1988, among many other things, including his Middle Eastern Dictionary of 1996, I believe, that he tells us has now been updated with a new edition and a slightly different title in 2003. Dilip, I want to be conscious of your time here. If you need to go at any point, you just tell me. I have plenty of things related to your essays that I can discuss on the air. So you tell me when you need to depart, okay?
No, it's okay. I think I had misunderstood that. Anyway, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I've come back here. I think I can go on for another hour, 2 hours, whatever you want.
Well, we'll be finished in less than an hour from now, which would be about 50 minutes from now or less. So that's the deal. But if you let me know,
Very good, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think as I was saying, Mark earlier, that what I'm now trying to give information, solid information, with documented evidence, that everybody talks about nuclear weapons. Okay, now WMD. weapons of mass destruction include not only nuclear weapons, but also chemical weapons and biological weapons. And as I said earlier, from page 325 of my updated dictionary, which is now called The Essential Middle East, subtitle is A Comprehensive Guide, published in 2003. Now, in that one, I give the details, which are simply that this Israeli Institute for Biological Research, IIRB, was established in 1952. Now, there was a crash of an Israeli aircraft near Amsterdam on its way from New York to Tel Aviv in October 1992, which killed 47 people, and which was carrying 10 tons of chemicals, including hydrofluoric acid, isopropanol, and DMMP. Three of the four ingredients needed to produce sarin nerve gas. The U.S. Office of Technology Assessment for Congress reported in 1993, the next year, that Israel had, in quote, undeclared offensive chemical warfare capabilities, unquote, and was, in quote, generally reported as having an undeclared offensive biological weapons program, unquote. In that year of 1993, Israeli government acknowledged that Marcus Klinberg, deputy head of IIRB, was given a 20-year sentence in solitary confinement in 1983, 10 years earlier, for leaking information on Israel's biological weapons program to the Soviet Union. Now, you see, now in September 1998, when actually I happened to be in Israel to research my book on Israelis and Palestinians, despite the protest by Nes Zionos, where IIRB is, the residents of Nes Zionos, the government decided to extend the IIRB site by a further 41 acres. So Israel signed the Chemical Weapons Convention in 1993. Its parliament has not yet ratified it. And Israel has refused to sign the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention as yet. So, see, I'm just talking of WMD. See, I mean, and quite honestly, how many people, even experts, would really know these details, which, of course, are, you know, from evidence, documents, you know. In fact, the whole crash of this plane in the Amsterdam was such a great scandal. Not only that 47 people died, 1,000 people were affected with their respiratory ailments and so on because of the exposure to these chemicals that I mentioned. So I think that, you know, this is something one has to keep in mind.
Well, yes, and as I try to put myself in the place of the present Iranian regime, I am certainly personally not an advocate of Islamic theocracy. Clearly, as a Lutheran Christian, I have a completely different theology and a completely different view of the relationship between church and state, presumably, and or religion and state than would characterize that government. But, of course, that isn't my government, and I'm not an Iranian, so that's not for me to decide. That's number one. But as I look at this whole thing and I try to put myself in the minds of the mullahs, to me, they have to be looking at us, meaning the United States. And they've got to be saying, well, they intervened in Iraq under false pretenses to allegedly get rid of Saddam because of weapons of mass destruction that he possessed, which he didn't possess, at least at that point. Number two, Saddam was an intelligence asset and an ally of the United States up until 1990 or 1991 and was being utilized by the United States against us in the Iran-Iraq war, I think the mullahs are thinking. Then, of course, you've got 150,000 American troops, give or take, in Iraq. There are 40,000 American and NATO troops in Afghanistan to Iran's east. The United States is involved in a series of actions that have violated Iranian airspace with these drones. A lot of activity going on in Azerbaijan that involves America and Israel and Britain, according to Philip Giraldi of the American Conservative. Now, I look at all of this, and I'm thinking, boy, from their point of view, certainly the United States has violated the Algiers Accord of January of 1981. They're now spending $75 million a year to try and overthrow our government. They're manipulating events inside of our own nation, especially in Azerbaijan. They're dispatching aircraft carrier task force groups out here and utilizing the vice president of the United States to overtly threaten us. I mean, the list just goes on, and I look at all of this from an Iranian perspective, and as an American who happens to be a Taft-Buchanan Republican, I am not a liberal or a leftist, I look at all of this, and I'm thinking to myself, no wonder these guys want a nuclear weapon, especially when they find themselves being explicitly threatened by Israel, which is in league with the United States, and which is the chief chemical, nuclear, and biological weapons power in the region. Why can the administration, the Bush administration, and people on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, in the American Congress, not at least understand where the Iranians are coming from on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you mentioned Israel, one has to, again, look at it simply, which is, you know, I go back to the thesis, which is the opening sentence of my article on Tom Dispatch. For countries, acquiring nuclear weapons is all about the most basic requirement, the survival of the regime or the nation. Now, you mentioned Israel. Okay, Israel in the mid-1950s decided, I mean, its leaders decided that they could not be sure that, you know, for decades and decades, their military, in terms of manpower and their weaponry, will remain superior to the combined strength of the Arab neighbors, who were, of course, hostile to them. Therefore, they embarked on producing an atom bomb, which, as you know, was actually produced in 1967, but they did not test it. The CIA anyway knew about it. The U.S. did not take any action or even say the boo about it. Now, then again, let's see, how does that work? Now, in, you remember October 1973 Arab-Israeli War?
When
yes. You know, when the Egyptians and the Syrians attacked Israel, not within 1967 border, they attacked the areas which were Arab and taken away from them, like in Sinai and in the Golan Heights. Now, in the first few days, Israelis were on the back foot, and the Arabs were making progress. At that time, that again is in my book, Sharing the Promised Land, Israel had 25 atom bombs. And Golda Meir was the prime minister, and she ordered all of the 25 atom bombs to be loaded onto specially adopted bombers. Now, those bombers never took off because the swift airlifting of military hardware ammunition from the Nixon administration soon helped turn the tide in Israel's favor. Now, therefore, to turn to the whole thesis, in short, Israeli leaders equipped their military with atom arms to ensure the survival of the state of Israel. But the process, once started, never ceases. Now, of course, they have at least 200 nuclear bombs. Now, it's the same principle, which is that, you know, you are equipping yourself as a deterrent to see that, you know, either your regime or the nation itself, you know, survives. And the same principle applies to the mullahs in Iran. Now, let's take very simply, as you know, we mentioned Afghanistan earlier. In Afghanistan, Taliban, of course, we have to remember, Mark, that long before Clinton got against the Taliban, long before even Mr. Bush knew what Taliban means, Iranians were against Taliban, because Taliban are orthodox Sunni and Iranians are Shia. And in fact, in September 1998, Iran almost went to war with Taliban because Taliban had arrested 12 of their diplomats and tortured them. Now, who do you think intervened to the backstanders? Clinton intervened to say, please, hold back, you know, don't go into the big fight. So that's the background. So naturally, when Taliban did whatever Al-Qaeda did, 9/11 happened, the Iranian government actively cooperated with the U.S., giving it intelligence that they had on Taliban in terms of the American campaign against Afghanistan. That's a fact, you know. And then once Taliban was overthrown, there was a conference near Berlin to put up a new government. Hamid Karzai was selected, and Iranians worked actively, positively with the Americans to put Hamid Karzai in the driving seat, etc., etc. That's December, Christmas 2001. Now, 4 weeks later on, George W. Bush.
We'll be back with Dilip Hero of the Iranian Labyrinth. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Mr. Hero. We'll be back.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today live from England by Dilip Hero, the author of The Iranian Labyrinth, the author of Blood of the Earth, the author of an incredible dictionary on the Middle East, and what is considered to be the definitive work ever written on the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988. And folks, I have to second what I think Congressman Ron Paul would say up in Iowa. If the Iowa Christian Alliance and the Iowans for Tax Relief would allow Congressman Paul to speak. I think Congressman Paul is the one non-neoconservative running for president in the Republican Party. And Ron Paul, I think, would stand up and say, here's what we need to do in our policies with Iran. We need to live up to the Algiers Agreement, the Algiers Accord of January of 1981. We need to stop appropriating millions of dollars to overthrow somebody else's government, whether we like that government or not. We need to get these American and British and Israeli operatives out of Iran, out of their country, out of these provinces like Azerbaijan and Balochistan province, to stop manipulating their situation through covert means. We need to stop violating Iranian airspace. We need to assure the Iranians that Israel is going to be held accountable for its biological, chemical, and nuclear program. And then we're going to insist that Israel engage and our own government engage in an honest deal with the Palestinians. It seems to me, folks, and I think Ron Paul would agree with this, that when you look at what we have done to the Palestinian people since 1948, there are some very good reasons why throughout the Islamic world, both in the Arab community and in the Persian community, there is a lot of distrust and dislike and in some cases downright hatred of the United States. We've been party to some really bad things, folks, including things like Operation Ajax and Operation Merlin. And I think Congressman Paul would say that it's about time we take a different tact in American foreign policy. Go back to what the old right used to talk about, where you had a strong national defense, but you stayed out of other people's business abroad, didn't go out trying to recruit enemies for yourself, and where you engaged in negotiations with foreign powers that were based upon transparency and honesty and not the sort of thing that is coming out of the American CIA and the Jewish neoconservative movement in the United States and the Israeli Mossad. I think that that's what Ron Paul would say if he were allowed to speak up in Iowa come this June 30th. If you don't like the decision of the so-called Iowa Christian Alliance and the Iowans for Tax Relief to keep Ron Paul out of legitimate discussion of the real issues in American foreign and domestic policy, contact those folks through Thomas Woods of LouRockwell.com, who, of course, has written several definitive pieces in recent days for Lou Rockwell in regard to this sneaky business going on up in Iowa that, in my judgment, has the fingerprints of the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party and the multinational corporations and the Israeli lobby all over it. We need to let those folks up in Iowa know that this has nothing to do with real American conservatism and the historic America First foreign policy that we used to have that involves staying out of other people's business, and that this whole business of allowing the Israeli lobby to dictate both the foreign and domestic policy of the United States, in my judgment, is a terrible, terrible policy. Those are my editorial remarks, not those of Dilip Hero. So let's go back and engage with Dilip again. Take it up, sir, with where we were before the last break.
Yeah, precisely. I think I was going through, you know, chronologically, which is that, you know, when it came to Taliban, Iran was against Taliban long before Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. And, of course, after 9/11, Iran actively cooperated, brought a lot of intelligence on Taliban to the Americans to get rid of Taliban. That happened in early December. And, of course, by Christmas of 2001, Iran was actually involved in installing Hamid Karzai as the president at a conference near Berlin. Now, 4 weeks later on, that's, you know, the last Tuesday of January, as you know, is the day for the president's Union of the State of the Union speech. And that, in that speech in 2002, January 2002, George W. Bush came out with his axis of evil of its members, Iraq, North Korea, and Iran. And so the Iranian leader said, my God, what happened? You know, I mean, you know, we helped America get rid of Taliban. We actually put Hamid Karzai, their man, in power in post-Taliban Afghanistan. And now we are being called members of the Axis of Evil. So I think that really shook them that, you know, you couldn't really rely on this particular country and its leader. Now, more interestingly, of course, as you know, that, well, March 2003, Anglo-American invasion in Iraq, Saddam was removed on 9th of April 2003, and 1st of May, remember, George Bush in his military uniform on USS Lincoln, mission accomplished. Soon after, the Iranians offered a whole credible, comprehensive negotiating agenda. Of course, there are no direct relations between Iran and America, but the Iranian American interests are represented by the Swiss embassy in Tehran. So they passed on these to the Swiss embassy. And
we'll be back with Dilip Hero. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll get back to some of the things that Mr. Bush said in that Axis of Evil speech after Iran cooperated with us against the Taliban. We may also discuss what Mr. Bush said before the Iranian presidential elections of 2005 that may have facilitated Mr. Ahmadinejad's election.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633, on the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined this morning by Dilip Hero, author of many, many books, including The Iranian Labyrinth. We've been discussing this whole issue of Iranian nuclear policy and the policies of the Bush administration and American conservatives as it relates to the possibility of a military conflict at some point, a very tragic one that might take place between this country and Iran. Dilip, take it away with where you were before the break.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as I explained the background of Iran helping America in the overthrow of Taliban and then after the overthrow of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Remember, it was Saddam Hussein who, in 1980, just a year after the Iranian Revolution, invaded Iran. You know, and that war went on for 8 years. So I think that, therefore, of course, the Iranians were quite pleased to see that Saddam had been overthrown for whatever reasons. And so they made their move in May of 2003, gave a complete, comprehensive negotiating agenda to the U.S. Everything on the table we'll discuss, what you want from us, what we want from you, and so let's talk. And, of course, there is no U.S. embassy in Tehran, and it's the Swiss embassy which looks after the American interests. So they passed it on to the Swiss embassy, which then passed on the documents to the Washington. And Washington's turned down the whole thing. In fact, they have rebuked the Swiss diplomat who had done this and said, this is not your job. Anyway, so the point is that the Iranians have tried, and remember at that time in 2003, a moderate Mohammad Khatami was the president, see, and for example, he had publicly said what happened with the American hostage crisis was regrettable, and you know, he almost apologized for what happened. So now the point is that the Bush administration completely rejected that particular offer of talks, and they have continued on this process of pressuring Iran, as I explained, you know, but when it comes to the nuclear issue, as it's, you know, in February of last year, when the nuclear issue moved from IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, to the UN Security Council in New York, the Iranians were quite upset. But ultimately, of course, it is the, shall I say, the head of IAEA, Mehmet Al-Bardai, who is, actually, he got a Nobel Prize. He and IAEA got a Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, for their efforts overall. And after, at the time of this prize, Al-Bardai made this statement on December 10, 2005, which is in my book. He said, I'm quoting Al-Bardai, part of the negotiations with Iran should be providing Iran with security assurances. I hope that the United States at a certain point will become more engaged. We look at the United States to do the heavy lifting in the area of security, unquote. So what, I mean, it's not me saying it. It's not, you know, some other expert saying it. He is the head of the IAEA. It was the IAEA Board of Governors who decided to send a case to the UN Security Council, and he is the one, every 3 months, he makes a report to the Board of Governors, IAEA, as to what's happening in Iran and other parts of the world. And he said the basic thing, which is you have to, you meaning the United States, the Bush administration, has to give a guarantee up front to the regime in Iran, basically saying we accept you, what you are, and I would say non-aggression in writing, we are not going to attack you, and we accept what you are. That can be the starting point of having meaningful negotiations and say what we want from you, what you want from us, but that's upfront. Now, if you compare this, for example, with what happened in North Korea, of course, as you know, North Korea had talks going on, and they had made agreement with Bill Clinton, and under Bill Clinton, the U.S. and South Korea had agreed to set up two light water nuclear civilian plants in North Korea, and that program was on track. But when the Bush administration took office, they stopped all that and got very tough with the North Koreans. So the North Koreans who had signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT, they withdrew from the treaty and kicked out the inspectors in December 2002, before the Iraq War, and accelerated their program. They are not producing atom bomb out of uranium. They are doing it from plutonium. There are two ways of doing it. They did a plutonium thing, and of course, as you know, October of last year, they tested their first atom bomb underground, and now they have a strong position. Now they can bargain. Say, okay, you want us to stop this? You do this for us. First, for example, you have confiscated $25 million of money in a bank in Macau, in China, so release that, et cetera, et cetera. You see, therefore, the basic principle to which anybody with intelligence or logical thinking can see that if you acquire this particular weapon, then you give yourself a strong bargaining position. It acts as a deterrent that even though you may be a small country, the big power is not going to attack and finish you off. And see, that's precisely so long as the regime of Iran does not have fully recognized written guarantee from the United States, written guarantee of non-aggression and written guarantee of non-interference in the internal affairs of Iran, see, things will not improve, because mullahs are doing exactly, I go back to what Israeli leaders did in the mid-1950s. They were not sure that they will always have the upper hand in conventional warfare against their Arab neighbors. Therefore, they took the nuclear path, and of course, as you know, in 1973, they actually did load their nuclear 25 nuclear atom bombs on the plane to take off in case the Arabs, that is Egyptians and Syrians, had actually marched into pre-1967 Israel, then they would have used it. But that did not happen because, you know, the Nixon administration airlifted a lot of material to them and they turned the tide in the war. So again, it's the same principle. So long as a regime, so long as the leaders of a particular nation think that the only way we can survive is to have an atom bomb as a deterrent, as a deterrent. And you remember, during the Cold War, even now, the principle applies that the Soviet Union and the United States said, okay, if you hit us, then we will have the second strike and we will wipe you off. And therefore, there are like 25,000 nuclear bombs on both sides, in Russia as well as in America. So the principle of that is called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, MAD. So if you hit us, we will hit you and we'll wipe you off. And so, and that MAD principle did apply during Cold War, if kept the peace. Now, those people who are talking about, say, Iran acquiring a weapon, which, as I explained earlier, it's not enough to enrich uranium on industrial scale. You must have a trigger. Iranians do not have the trigger. And even that fellow, the Pakistani Dr. Khan, what he was selling was enrichment of uranium, because Mr. Khan is a metallurgist. He doesn't know anything about triggers. So somehow Iranians have to find a trigger to be able to make it. But even if suppose they make it, and suppose they have the actual missile, which they have, and they actually hit Israel, where will they hit? It doesn't matter. So if they hit Israel, then Israel has already submarines which are equipped with atomic bombs. So they are going to have the second strike and totally destroy Iran, you see. So, I mean, so even in terms of actual targeting, where exactly would Iranians hit Israel? Because they are not going to hit Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the third holiest Islamic site in the world. And one-fifth of all the people living in Israel are Palestinian Arabs, or Israeli Arabs. So there's no way you can hit Israel without actually killing Arabs, as well as, of course, you know, Jewish Israelis. So the targets are, shall I say, very limited. And even if they had the accuracy of hitting certain things, how can you actually, say, hit Tel Aviv without affecting Jerusalem, which is only about 30 miles from Tel Aviv, and the radiation is spread all over. So you see, all of this actually is to take something forward. You know, this is what I call a Hollywood disaster movie. Suppose you're going to make a movie, you have to go forward and say, what should they do? And even if they actually did hit something, as I said, Israel has a second strike capability, which Iranians do not have. Iranians do not have submarines equipped with warheads carrying nuclear bombs. So you see, and so all of this is actually, you know, shall I say, oh, they are coming, like you, the Russians are coming. The Russians have so much more than what the U.S. has and so on, which turned out to be quite inflated. Hello?
Yes.
So I think I'm just going through the whole scenario of exaggerating the danger without understanding why a particular country has taken a particular path, and that's why I keep always referring to what Israel has done. Now, whether Israel has done wrong or right doesn't matter. We have to look at the logic. And they started on that particular logic in the mid-1950s, India and Pakistan, again, that's something which I discussed in my article, which I think is a very comprehensive work. If you look at India and Pakistan, okay, Pakistan has less people. Pakistan's economy is not so developed as Indian economy. And Pakistan knows that if there's a conventional war, they will be beaten by the Indians. So, therefore, they went on the path of having a nuclear bomb. They started in the late 70s. In 10 years, they had something. They did not test the actual bomb. Only they did it after India did it in May 1998. So that same principle. Now, after 98, almost a year after both sides tested their atom bombs, and of course they have missiles, there was a big fight in the disputed territory of Kashmir, in the Indian part of the Kashmir, and that particular fight went on. It did not escalate to the point of all-out war, because both sides said, in an extreme situation, we will use atom bombs. Therefore, both sides stayed back, and that particular fight, which was localized, did not spread and did not actually go on the frontier of the two countries. In fact, at one point, Mark, there were 1 million soldiers lined up on both sides, and then offensive positions, taking up offensive positions. But that did not happen. So again, I am just simply illustrating what is called the deterrent doctrine of having an atom bomb. So if you are talking India, Pakistan, I explained what's happened. And even India itself got on a nuclear thing because they had a conventional war with China in 1962. They got drubbing in that war, and so they said, how can we protect ourselves from next time China should not attack us? Let's take the nuclear path. And that's why they developed a nuclear weapon, and so far there has been no, shall I say, recurrence of fight between India and China, because both sides have weapons, and they know that if one side uses it, the other side will use it as well. So I think, that is the basic principle. The Iranian mullahs are onto this particular thing. All they are doing, aping, following the example of Israel in the mid-1950s. They are now, in fact, following the example of North Korea from year 2002, much more recent. They are following the example of India and Pakistan. So you see, all of that really is, once again, using of having an atom bomb as a deterrent to make sure that the regime survives. And if the regime's survival is accepted in the same way, as Iran's regime is accepted as a legitimate regime by Russia, by China, by India, by European Union and Brussels, they deal with them, as equal, etc., etc., and that is not the case with the United States of America. And that is the starting problem. That is the key problem, and that can only be solved. I again go back to what Al-Badai said. It is the UN, United States, to do the heavy lifting in the area of security, and at some point, Iran needs security assurances from the U.S.
In other words, an honest attempt on the part of the United States to reaffirm the basic principles in thought, word, and deed of the Algiers Accord of January of 1981.
Yeah, I think, what the Iranian would say, and I think, again, on that particular document that I mentioned earlier, by the way, the existence of that document was first actually revealed by Flint Leverett, who was a former director of Middle East Affairs at the U.S. National Security Council. He wrote an op-ed in January of last year in the New York Times, reprinted in the Herald Tribune. And in the May of last year, the Financial Times gave some details. And I think about 6 weeks ago, Nicholas Kristof, the New York Times columnist, he has put the whole document on his website. So one can see exactly what the Iranians are offering. And to judge that they were serious. They wanted to have serious negotiations, basically. And, of course, any such thing would have meant at some point setting up diplomatic relations, you know, having embassy of America in Tehran and the Iranian embassy in Washington, D.C., and all that was on the table to be discussed. But, it was simply, shall I say, rejected outright. And so that is the basic point. Now, of course, if there is, for example, going to be, say, non-aggression pact, then that non-aggression pact will have to be the part of the United Nations document, not simply between two countries, because the Iranians have seen that what was between the two countries, Algiers Accord, has been violated by the United States, and so they can't trust that. So next time, if any such agreement will have to have the UN stamp on it and will be internationally bound by both sides. But, and that is something, which is required. And unless that is done, of course, things will not improve.
Well, Dilip, you've indicated, that certainly there seems to be a brand of thinking among the hawks in the Bush administration and in the Congress that there should be an aerial attack by the United States against Iran. There are American neoconservatives who believe that those attacks would facilitate getting rid of the IRI regime in Tehran. You indicate that that has a delusional aura about it. Let's examine that as our last topic of conversation when we come back. Stay tuned.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Thank you.
House of Eric are coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last minute or two of our conversation today with Dilip Hero, coming to us from England. He is the author of Blood of the Earth, The Iranian Labyrinth, a dictionary on the Middle East in 1996 that has been updated in 2003. I'm going to try and get, of course, the 2003 version for my own library. And in my last question for Dilip this morning, I was going to address something that he mentions in his epilogue in the UK version of the Iranian Labyrinth on page 368. Dilip, you indicate that the hawkish policymakers in the Bush administration believe that aerial raids against Iran on the part of the United States could lead to the overthrow of the clerical regime in Tehran, especially if they were preceded by increasing support for proxy opposition groups to destabilize the regime. Given the widespread disaffection with the mullah's rule, the hawks argued, all that was needed was to show to the suffering Iranians was that such clerics were vulnerable. Such a scenario accepted by Donald Rumsfeld and his deputy Paul Wolfowitz, in your judgment, has the same delusional aura about it as the one where Iraqis would welcome their Anglo-American invaders with sweets and flowers. Why is their perception on this delusional, in your view?
Mark, there have been op-eds written by people in Washington, D.C., who are basically neocons, simply saying that we can just do whatever we want to do overnight, B-52 bombers, and by the time the Indians get up in the morning, they will see all the nuclear facilities are gone. I mean, this is, make believe. You see, as I explained earlier in my interview, that there are lots of small workshops producing parts of the centrifuge, which are used to enrich uranium, and to really get them, you need many more strikes. It will go on for many days, but it's not going to simply stay, strikes and finish. Already, as you know, 10 days ago, there was an interview given by the ex-defense minister of Iran, Admiral Ali Shamkhani, to the Defense News of the USA, which is, if we are attacked, we will fire missiles not only at Israel, but also at the Arab Gulf states, which have allowed America to station their soldiers and the weaponry in their own countries for attack against Iran. So we are going to attack them as well. And this will basically create, the Middle East war all over the region, you see. And plus, remember that Iran has, Iran, of course, is a Shiite country. And, of course, there are Shiites all over the Gulf. And of course, 60% of Iraqis are Shiite. And, of course, there are Shiites in Kuwait. There are Shiites in Qatar. There are Shiites in United Arab Emirates and in Saudi Arabia and so on. So I think all of, and you can be damn sure that some of them are very sympathetic with Iran, and Iran already has what you may call sleeper cells in these countries. And if America is going to attack Iran with the cooperation of these countries, then of course there will be a lot of sabotage, which you might call terrorist actions. And see, I'm not only one to say. You remember Robert Gates before he, got confirmed as the defense secretary, in his testimony to the Armed Services Committee, Senate Armed Services Committee, he said roughly the same thing, that Iran has leverage on us. And see, so, but on the other hand, Mark, I have to say there are some people, all human beings have a learning curve. But I'm afraid there are some policymakers in the Bush administration who have no learning curve. It's not that their learning curve is flat, they have no learning curve. They haven't learned the huge disaster, the huge strategic blunder they have committed in Iraq. They want to repeat that thing in a much larger scale. And I have to simply, if they...
And it's coming.
If there's a military attack on Iran, Iraq will look like a Sunday picnic.
Dilip, thank you for being on. We've been with Dilip Hero, The Iranian Labyrinth.
It's true. We have been a source of true wealth for years.